Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
I'm excited to introduce you to Matt Johnson, an agency owner that focuses on done-for-you podcasting for coaches, consultants, and thought leaders. I just finished his book, Micro Famous, Become Famously Influential to the Right People. It gives you a strategy to attract an audience, build influence, and create ideal clients systematically. Are you ready to learn how? Let's get started. Welcome to the Soar to Success podcast, Matt. I can't wait for our conversation today.
I know, me too. We have such great conversations behind the scenes, and I've had you on my show, and now I get to be on your show. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I'd like you to start by telling people what you do, and then kind of more importantly, why? What's your why behind it?
Okay. So I run an agency. We produce podcasts for mainly thought leaders, so coaches, consultants, and author speaker types in the business world. And that ties directly into my why. Years ago, I went from working in a marketing agency to being a partner in two different coaching consulting businesses in the real estate space. And I just realized that I wasn't the one that should be coaching. I was the one that needed to be helping them with their marketing and supporting the people who were doing the coaching. And they had life-changing content, legitimately life-changing content. And it wasn't being seen by enough of the right people. And I had the mechanics from running podcasts and things like that to get that message in front of more people. So that's kind of where I get my sense of fulfillment and satisfaction from, is taking people that are, I would call them emerging thought leaders, and helping them reach the right people through things like podcasting.
Yeah. And I know you're an author of this book, Micro Famous. Mm-hmm. And I've read through it and think there is so much great information that everybody should consume. So I want to talk about one of the things in your book that you start out talking about is about niching. Do you say niching or niching?
Niching. I have a friend from Montreal that can't help himself. Everything is niching, the French pronunciation. I just can't get on board with it.
Yeah, right. Me either. So niche. Okay. So you think people should have a niche. And I know from being around my clients that that is like the number one resistance that people have. It's like, I don't want to do that. Anybody would like this, what I do. Mm-hmm. So what do you say about that?
Well, when you run with business coaches, personal development people especially, they're right about that. They're right that their content can help everybody. Because the bottom line is, a lot of this stuff goes down to fundamental human principles of success.
Yeah.
So, but that's not the issue. The issue is, who do you attract, and are you attracting the right people that you actually want to work with? And I think there's definitely a fear issue that we can overcome. As a matter of fact, I'm putting out an episode of my own show that drops today while we're recording this. And it's an interview with a client of mine who is leaving, I should say, his initial niche.
Okay.
And breaking out into a bigger space. Mm-hmm. And he is proof positive that this can be done. Obviously, Gary Vee did it. We've seen it over and over and over again. Like, think about Gary Vee years ago. He was the wine library TV guy. And now he's running a $600 million social media agency that sells to the Fortune 1000. So the idea that if you niche down at first, that you can't break out of that is absolutely false. It's a limiting belief. And in fact, I think it's actually the best way to do it. If you look at any band that breaks into the mainstream, they didn't go after the mainstream audience first. They mm-hmm. built a really rabid cult following, and then on that cult following told their friends. And so to me, that's the model that most thought leaders and coaches, consultants should follow, is just think of yourself as if you're a band. You can hit the mainstream at some point, but focus on building your cult following first.
Yeah. And so what would be a good example of a small enough niche for someone to be successful in?
I love that question. I've been thinking about this a lot. And my conclusion is, if you're selling something high ticket, you really don't need more than 5,000 people. So okay. If you think about the friend limit list on Facebook, if you had a personal Facebook profile mm-hmm. and 5,000 of your friends on Facebook were your audience, that's really all you'd need, you know? And that comes from, like, that goes back even to Dan Kennedy, who's made, you know, tens, maybe even $100 million off of a relatively small niche audience of business owners, chiropractors, dentists, you know, like really, you know, fairly well defined niches. And for me, it's the same way. So I look at it in terms of, like, on LinkedIn, if I do a search for business coach, I am personally connected, either first or second level connections, to 8,000 people on LinkedIn that define themselves as a business coach. Mm-hmm. That's all I will ever need.
Yes.
Right? If I just sell to those people and I'm famously influential to that group of the right people, I don't need to go into the wider world. I certainly don't need to get famous enough to sign autographs at the grocery store. In fact, I like the fact that I can go to the grocery store and nobody knows who I am. But when I show up at an industry event, that's when I want people saying, hey, let's come over and grab a picture with you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That is very good advice for people to research their LinkedIn and Facebook profiles looking for who those clients could be.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's, Sales Navigator is great for that.
Sales Navigator?
The Sales Navigator, the up level of LinkedIn where you can do more detailed searches is really good for that. So the agency that I came from has a maximum potential market of about 12,000 people. And they've worked really, really hard to research that and actually build the email list of that. Yeah. And they run a $3 million agency in a market of only 12,000 potential clients. I mean, so it absolutely can be done.
And so did they do their research mostly on LinkedIn then? Do you think that's a good way for people to go when they're researching their market?
Yeah, when you're just starting out, I agree, yes. There's a bunch of other ways you can do it. You can go to like actual list brokerage services and Crystallytics, and like you can get really, really into the weeds with it. But a great place to start is LinkedIn, just to get a sense of how big your overall market is. And then obviously you want to start talking to those people to see if your suspicion is right and that they are in fact the right people, that they do in fact have the budget, right? That's something you can really only get a feel for by talking to people and going to their events. But it's a really good place to start.
Yeah. And then one of your other strong beliefs in your book is that people need to have a clear and compelling idea. Mm-hmm. So talk about that a little bit. What does that mean exactly? And how do they figure out what that is?
Well, so it goes back to when I was in the early days of my agency and I would be booking people on podcasts and they would ask me what I did. And I would tell them, well, we run a marketing agency that basically is completely done for you. If you want to run a podcast, you just show up and talk and my team does the rest. And the response that I got was, holy cow, really? What? Okay, we needed to have another conversation about that. So it would immediately lead to sales calls when I had no intention necessarily of getting them on a sales call. Once I started figuring out that was happening, I leaned into it and turned it into a strategy, obviously. But that just happened organically. And I realized that the more people that I helped in my space with podcasting, those that did have a clear and compelling idea, they got that same response from their potential clients. And it worked so well that they could get people to plunk down $3,000 to show up at an event or pay $1,500 a month for group coaching or whatever, without long sales calls, without having to speak to them in person or meet them in a networking event, which is how most people generate sales for those types of programs. And so we kind of get what it means to be clear. Like that kind of makes sense. To just, make sure that what we're saying is understandable immediately to the right people. We kind of get that. But what does compelling mean? Yeah. And compelling to me is the ability to get people off the couch and into action. Mm-hmm. Right? If you tell people what you do and you're talking to someone that's probably an ideal client for you and you tell them in 1 to 2 sentences the core idea of your business and you don't get that response, that's a symptom that you probably haven't uncovered your clear and compelling idea, right? It may be you might have a compelling idea, and a lot of the people that I initially work with, they do have it, but it's buried, right? It's not clear. It's kind of buried somewhere in all their content to the point where it's not refined down into a form that is immediately understandable so that it punches the right people in the face mentally and emotionally and gets them to pay attention. And so that, to me, that's the power. Like once you have those 1 to 2 sentences, when you tell that to an ideal client, their response is, holy cow. Okay, we need to talk more about that.
Yeah. And so do you have a formula for those 1 to 2 sentences, or is it just coming from the heart of the person?
It's different for everybody. It is. So it's not a fill in the blanks formula. It has to be an expression of the core idea of their business. And that's a little bit different for everyone in terms of how they phrase it. And it's really about this constant back and forth between them and their audience to see what they respond to. And I'll give you a practical example. So one of my clients is in the real estate space and he runs his own personal real estate team that nets him $1 million a year, and he runs it in less than a day a week. It's actually only about 2 to 3 hours a week. It's absolutely insane. So we launched a podcast, got him featured on podcasts, right? Because all that he needed to do was get that clear and compelling idea in front of the right people. And then basically say, look, we've got a workshop where if you want to implement this stuff into your own business, just here's the money, here's the place to pay, come show up at my office in Omaha, Nebraska, and you walk away with all of our systems that we implemented in our business. And that was enough to get people so interested that they would do that and they would go onto his website and put that credit card down and get on a plane and show up at his office in Omaha without even talking to somebody in a lot of cases. It's insane. And that's the power of the clear and compelling idea. So it's not about the phrasing necessarily. It's about constantly having that ongoing conversation with your right people until you find that one to two sentences that gets that kind of reaction.
Yeah. And it has results in it.
Yes, exactly.
And I love your pyramid too, where you talk about the compelling idea at the top and then your beliefs down below. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important for people to be expressing what they do believe in as far as attracting the right people. How do you think it's best? Why don't you explain your pyramid first and then talk about how do you think it's best for people to express their beliefs?
So the pyramid is the clear and compelling idea at the top, which should be the main thing that attracts people to you. Maybe even the first thing they ever hear from you, probably from their friends or maybe from what they see of you online. But underneath that is this framework of like supporting beliefs and your bold opinions, and especially what I call the buying beliefs, which are maybe the handful, like let's say the five key things that people need to agree with you about in order for them to be ideal clients. And yeah, then underneath that, you kind of have your just your foundational belief system of the way that you look at the world and things like that.
Core values.
Core values, exactly. Beliefs, opinions, thoughts, you know, just kind of your ideas about the way the world works. And yeah, people don't have to necessarily agree with you on all that stuff in order to be ideal clients. But I think we've all had that experience where we show up to a sales call and that person is, they're just ready. Now, it's not even necessarily a timing issue. It's just that they already show up agreeing with us on the key things. And we're like, man, like this is really an ideal client.
I
want to work with them. It's easy.
And
then when you get into the relationship, like it goes easy too. Like you give them advice and they go, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that. Because they already agree with you on the foundational stuff. So when you give them advice, it makes sense to them. We know the difference between that. And those people sign up easier and we get them results easier. And that's most important. It's not just that it's easier on us to serve them. It's easy for us to get them results.
Yeah.
And so if we really think strategically about what are those buying beliefs, then we can start putting out content into the world that hits those beliefs over and over and over again so that it attracts the people who already agree with us. But more importantly, it hits that wider world of people that could agree with us if they only heard the right content from us, and it gets them drawn in and it changes their perspective on the world and it gets them to agree with us on those few key things. So that when they show up on a sales call, it's not us persuading, it's them qualifying themselves to us that they're a good client for us.
And so can you give an example of what might be a belief that someone could, would they talk about it on their podcast? Is that?
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll give you a common one. So if you work with, if anyone in the audience is like a small business owner that's ever thought about hiring a coach, you'll hear, you know, some variation of this promise. Like you can double your income, right? If you just work with me, I'll double your income. Great. But if you're the small business owner and you're looking at that going, well, if I double my income, I'm going to double my workload too. I'm never going to see my family. I'm never going to hit the gym. I'm going to feel unhealthy. I'm going to eat fast food all the time, right? If that's your belief system, that coach has a lot of work to do to get you to do the things that are actually going to double your income, because you associate pain with that doubling of your income, right?
So you have a block.
You have a limiting belief. So now as a coach, you can sign them up as a client and you can deal with all that limiting belief stuff on the back end, but it's a lot better if you've already smashed that limiting belief through your content and that person shows up on your doorstep already agreeing with you that you can double your income and not only not double your workload, but you can actually cut it to a fraction of what it used to be. And that's true, by the way. But if people have that limiting belief, even if they go hire the coach, it's going to be a struggle and that coach is going to hate having them as a client. It is not a fun experience.
And so how do they convey it? Through testimonials, or what's your best advice for expressing those beliefs?
Well, stories is a great way to do it. And that's why I try to tell a lot of stories when I'm sharing my belief system too. Because success stories, when you're talking to people that have successfully implemented what you've done, is great. You can also share stories just even in just solo episodes of you just talking, whether it's on a YouTube video or a podcast episode. So there's a couple ways, but stories are definitely the most compelling way to kind of get around people's natural defenses, right? Because if you come right at it head on and you say, look, you're wrong, you can double your income and not work anymore, right? Immediately people's defenses go up. But if you tell the story of someone who you helped double their income and cut their workload in half, you know what I'm saying? It gets around people's defenses and they go, you know, that's really interesting. I wouldn't have thought to do it that way, but hearing what somebody else did, I can see how that would work. And so it sidesteps those defenses. So yeah, I think stories are definitely the most compelling way to share your beliefs in a way that gets people to agree with you.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. You know, when somebody says, I am whatever, I'm a Christian, I'm a whatever, you know, you immediately are like, why do you have to tell us this? We should be able to figure it out by how you act, right?
How dare you? I'm the most humble person, you know.
Exactly. So anyway, I think that's a great advice. So let's talk about podcasts. So yeah. Tell me about your process and why you think podcasts is really the best way for people to get information to the world.
Well, the interesting thing about podcasting right now is it's one of the few places where people spend any significant chunk of time, and especially if they are looking for a solution to their problem, right? So you'll see people going and you know, they might look at business books, they'll look at YouTube or whatever, but even on YouTube, they'll spend, you know, you're lucky to hang on to people's attention for 5 minutes uh-huh. on a YouTube video. And then they're off to somebody who's getting kicked in the crotch, you know, in the next video, right?
Or a cat.
Or a cat. Cat videos, exactly. But podcasts are one of those few spaces, and we know the numbers that, you know, 80% of people who start listening to an episode listen to the majority or all of the episode. And most episodes are, you know, 25 to 40 minutes long. Where else do you get somebody's relatively undivided attention for 30 to 40 minutes in marketing? Like, it just doesn't happen unless you're at a speaking engagement. How many of those can you do? Yeah. So it's one of the few places where people spend any time. In the business world, it's one of the few places where people go directly looking for solutions. And if you compare that to putting, you know, organic content on Facebook or even putting an ad in front of them, people aren't on Facebook and Instagram looking for solutions for their business problems. They're looking to connect with people.
Yeah.
But on a podcast, that's why they're there. They're looking for solutions to get to the next level in their business and in their life. And so the mindset is completely different. So to me, that's why podcasting is such a unique opportunity. And then you stack on top of that what's going on right now in the world with, you know, organic reach is falling. More people are generating content than ever before. And so most likely, even if you have, you know, like I've got 5,000 Facebook friends and 4,000 people following me, it's still the same 150 people who commented on my stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't change. It's all the same people. And you're not reaching 10,000 people because they want you to pay to play. And pay to play is not difficult to, it's not easy to get right. And it's time consuming. So for most people, they're caught in this hard place between, you know, not being able to reach a lot of the right people on organic social media, and they don't have any way to reach them through paid ads, because that's a long and difficult process. So there has to be a third way. And to me right now, that's podcasting.
Yeah. And so what's your advice for someone who's thinking about starting a podcast? Mm-hmm.
So my best advice is if you think it's the technical stuff that gets in the way, it's actually not. So it's easier than ever to start a podcast. What trips most people up is the marketing, the branding, and the strategy of it, which is what my agency focuses on. I mean, we do all the back end stuff, but technically you could start a podcast on Anchor and just record into your phone, mm-hmm. right? So it's really not the technical stuff. And me running a done for you agency for years has taught me that that's not the real issue. The real issue typically is people's discomfort with their own message, not being quite sure what they're going to say, being uncomfortable with their own presentation, maybe even disliking the sound of their own voice. The thing is, which is funny, but you just have to, like, you have to get over some of that stuff, because your clients already know that stuff about you and they signed up with you anyway. And there's probably a lot of other people out there who would too. So get over that. Right. And we help people get the strategy right, so they are confident in what they're saying, so that when they do sit down to record a podcast or interview somebody, they know what they're trying to say and they know what beliefs they want to hit, because they know that the content they're putting out is going to attract the right people. Like, once you kind of get that confidence, all the technical stuff can fall into place.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so important that people start out on the right foot, don't you think? That they aren't just, I think so many people want to do everything themselves, and they don't to rely on the experts who could save them a lot of time and get things going the right way to start out with.
Yeah. 100%. That's a big problem in both of the spaces where you or I run in. It's very tempting. People kind of oscillate wildly between completely trying to delegate something and completely be hands-off versus doing it all themselves, right? So being in absolute control or being completely disconnected, the answer to me is always somewhere in the middle. You do the things that are the highest value activities for you and let somebody else do anything that you can pay somebody $100 an hour or less to do so that you can focus on $500 and $1,000 an hour activities. Like that's the process of increasing your income. And to me, it's a huge stumbling block for a lot of different people, but there are definitely ways around it. And if you hire experts that already know how to work with you and they've already got a system, then it's a lot easier to plug into that.
Yes, exactly. I think I'm going to cut this little snippet out and have it to play back.
It's a good plug for both of us. Yeah.
Exactly. So is there anything else that you think people need to know that we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, I think there's a misconception out there, and it absolutely is true in the world of people who follow Gary Vaynerchuk and Grant Cardone and all those guys. And that I like them for various reasons, but the fact that they've gotten popular has created the idea that attention automatically equals sales. And so when people are putting out content online and they're not getting sales, they are wildly confused, right? And their only answer to that is to generate more content, which is not helping, right?
Yeah, right.
So to me, there's a missing link between attention and sales. And it's not sales skills. It's not presentations. It's not you going out and doing more networking events, right? Because none of that stuff is scalable anyway. Mm-hmm. To me, the missing link between attention and sales is influence. Mm-hmm. Are you a person of influence, right? Because if you had the opportunity to get a personal coaching call with Tony Robbins and you could afford it, or even if you could put it on a credit card, do you really need to talk to your significant other and ask a ton of questions and get on a call with Tony first to make sure he's right for you? You know what I'm saying? Like when we think about that, we think, well, of course not. I would just pull the trigger and I would do a coaching call with Tony Robbins. Well, why is that? How is that any different from hiring some other expert? The difference is that expert in your eyes isn't that level of influence.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that we can be that level of influence in smaller focused markets where we compete. Like we can dominate and be the number one person in a very focused space. And we can build that level of influence to where somebody else will hire us without getting on a sales call or something like that, because we are the person of influence to them. We have the solution that they're looking for. So to me, that's the answer is work on becoming a person of influence and the sales will come.
Yeah. And I think your book outlines perfectly how people can do that.
Yeah, I hope so. That was the goal. But yeah, we tried to make it as simple and easy to follow as possible. So it's not overly long. It's something, I was a huge fan of Al Reese's book from back in the day, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. And it's funny because about every week I pick that up and just read like one chapter at random and pull something out. That's what I wanted my book to be like. So it's not something that you have to read straight through. You can literally just open it up to any chapter and get something out of it and move on.
Yes. And so I got my copy on Amazon. Is that the best place for people to go?
You can definitely get it on Amazon, but if you want to get it for free plus shipping, basically half the cost of Amazon, I'll cover the hard cost if you cover cost of shipping. So that's at microfamousbook.com and we'll get out a physical soft cover copy to you.
Okay. Excellent. I encourage everybody to do that. So there's one thing that I ask everybody who's on the podcast with me, and that is, what are three traits that you see when you take on a new client or when you're working with your clients, when you see they have these traits, you know that they're going to be able to follow your system and they will soar to success. So can you give me three traits?
Yes. So the number one thing is my ideal clients would rather matter really deeply to 1,000 people than be irrelevant to 1 billion.
Okay.
So they just have that mentality of really wanting to get deep with the right people, as opposed to just being, you know, kind of out there and being on every platform, trying to be everything to everyone, right? My ideal clients have already crossed that bridge and said, that's not for me. Beyond that though, I think my ideal clients are the types of people that they have the discipline and the strength of execution that when they commit to something, they follow through. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of my clients back in the day said, when he first launched his podcast, he told me this like a month after. He said, look, when I decided to launch a podcast, he's like, I knew that the first 6 months of episodes was going to suck. Like I said, I knew I was going to be happy with him because I've never done this before. He said, but I knew that over the course of 50 to 100 episodes, like I would settle in, I would be comfortable, and I would get better at it. And so I committed to do that. I'm like, that's why he built a seven figure coaching business on top of a seven figure real estate business, because he has that approach, right? They, my ideal clients understand, whether it's by choice or by instinct, like how to choose tomorrow over today.
Yeah.
They don't make decisions for today. They make decisions for tomorrow. They build systems, they execute, they get out there and they plod along relentlessly, because they know that tomorrow, like making the decisions for tomorrow, is where long-term success comes from. So that's right. That's my three things.
Yeah. Okay. Can you say those again in simple words? Like 1, 2, 3. The first one, do you remember?
First one is focusing on the right people.
Second one,
I would say strength of execution.
Okay. And the third,
and long-term outlook.
Okay, good. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much. So how can people find out more about you?
Easiest place to follow me is just a place where I have all my links out to various places to follow, and the podcast and the book and all that. And that's at getmicrofamous.com.
Getmicrofamous.com. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. I loved every single minute of it. I think you gave great information for people.
Thank you so much, Pat. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.